Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Recently, I had the joy of speaking to a group of our friends from Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're going to continue the message from yesterday, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you as you listen. Let me share a couple of scriptures with you. First of all, in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus, as an infant, is taken to the temple, there are two folks there, Simeon and Anna, and both of them would definitely qualify for the senior citizen discount. Okay? There's actually a little question about Anna's age. I think the better translation, though it's not precisely clear in the Greek, I think the better translation choice is that she was an 84-year-old widow. The way that it's worded, there are a couple of translations that opt for the idea that she had been a widow for 84 years. If the latter is true, she really was up in years. But I think the best translation is that she was an 84-year-old widow who had spent most of her adulthood as a widow. She was married for, I think it was 7 years, and then her husband passed away, and the rest of her life, she was a widow. Now, that can make you bitter, or that can make you better. The same sun that melts butter hardens brick. And you get to decide how you're going to respond to the hard things in life. But I have known people who went through great hardship and came out absolutely shining like diamonds, just beautiful. And I've known other people who went through hardship and came out just making everybody around them miserable. So your choice. Trust in the Lord and ask His Holy Spirit to fill you. And what will be manifested in your life is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But those two senior adults were some of the first on the planet to recognize the coming of Messiah. And I want you to realize that whatever stage you find yourself in, God may still have some wonderful things to show you. And you may get to see Jesus more clearly than a lot of other people around you, as those two senior adults did. I think the concern that some of us have hanging in the back of our minds is that, you know, we're doing okay now, not really worried about tomorrow. It's 10 years from now that concerns us. When our firstborn child had such severe medical problems, I loaded up on things like life insurance and disability insurance, and spent what some would suggest was an inordinate amount of my income, not on saving for retirement, but on trying to make sure that if something happened to me, and my wife was having to take care of our three kids, and especially of our oldest son with his needs, that she would have resources to do it. So now my kids are all grown, and instead of having a bunch of money saved for retirement, my wife will be fine during our retirement years as long as I die. So this became a little bit of a concern to me. You know, it's sort of like, I'm doing fine right now. We're doing fine. You know, I'm still working, and so we're doing fine. But at some point, So, I mean, that was a concern. God has some things to say about that. In Psalm 71, verse 1, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame." Verse 9, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." Verse 14 and following, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long. Though I know not its measure." Please meditate on that. He says, I'm going to tell of your salvation all day long, though I don't even fully understand it. God's grace toward us is boundless, immeasurable, beyond understanding. And that's really good news. It's even more wonderful than what you think it is. However great you think God is, he's greater than that. That's good to know. In verse 18, this is a verse I claimed in 1975 before I married Susan, because my parents had just come down, and I was very aware that they were getting on up in years. "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." And my prayer was that God would give me the opportunity not just to proclaim his greatness to people my age, but that God would give me the privilege of sharing the truth of God's greatness with generations to follow. And God has graciously done that, and it thrills me to get to look out most of the time when I'm speaking at a bunch of kids, elementary and teenage kids, who are hearing about the greatness of our God and willing to listen to this old geezer. And that thrills my heart. That thrills my heart. So those scriptures I find tremendously encouraging. Psalm 71 is an appeal to the Lord to please do this. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." It's not up to me to save me. And God has spoken to my heart more than once. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" God has said, "I'm the one who has brought you this far. I've taken care of you. I'll take care of your family. Don't be afraid that, you know, what if something happens? What if something happens? What if the economy totally implodes? Okay? What if the places that I thought would be safe investments for our retirement years turn out to have been horrible investments? What if Social Security is rescued by the government in such a way that it feeds hyperinflation? And so the government does as promised and gives us all checks, but the checks are now good for a loaf of bread. What if? Well, there was a guy named Elijah, and God told him to pray for a drought. It's an odd thing to pray for. He prayed that God would withhold rain, and then he ended up living in a ravine where he couldn't grow any crops, and so he had to be fed daily by ravens bringing in bread and meat.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit PastorWood.org today. That's PastorWood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
What I'm saying is this. God doesn't promise we won't go through hard times. God doesn't promise there won't be suffering. God promises that we will go through hard times and that there will be suffering. But God promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And when we know that, when we really know that, then all the attempts of the enemy to try and feed our anxiety and tell us, what if, what if, what if, you can simply say, what if? It's okay. Whatever comes. We're not saying, no, that won't happen. We're saying, so, what if? God will take care of us. God will take care of us. Whatever we go through, God has promised he will not abandon us. We'll never be alone. And we can take whatever time we have and invest it for his glory. Amen? All right, let's pray and then I'm going to open it up for Q&A. Father, thank you so much for your abundant, amazing grace. Thank you that Jesus came so that we could have life and have it to the full. I pray that you would help us to trust in you, not to fall into despair and depression, not to fall into denial, but knowing that our time is short, let us give all we have and all we are for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to have a few minutes for any questions y'all might have, whether it's about something we talked about today or something we didn't talk about today, but you really wished we would have, and I can defer it to another time. Yes. That's a great question. What about that's a great question. What about the question of leaving an inheritance to your children? I think it is very good to leave something to your children and grandchildren. The Bible speaks of that. But I think it is important not to leave them so much that it removes motivation to support themselves. So, and tempts them not to rely on the Lord. I have known people who had enormous fortunes of millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they left their money to their kids and wrecked their kids' lives. Absolutely, I mean, just demolished. It is rare that kids are able to just sort of accept that and go out and do great things. I've known a few folks. I've known three folks who inherit. I've known more than three, but I'm going to tell you about three folks that I've known who inherited a huge multi-million-dollar fortune and still went ahead, got their education, and had a career. Okay? Two of them have done well. The other one, even though he got his education and he's had a career, has been crippled the entire time, in part by this overwhelming sense of responsibility that he mustn't, basically he mustn't touch that because he doesn't want to rely on it. But he also doesn't feel free to give it away charitably. He feels like he's a very generous charitable giver out of his earnings, and he has good earnings. But this is like this albatross that he's been given that he's got to look after, make sure nothing happens to it so that he can pass it on to the next generation. And I'm saying, you know, are you going to do the same favor for other people that was done for you and entrust them with something that they don't know what to do with? There might be better things to do. All right? Most of the people that I have known who inherited enormous wealth have absolutely made a disaster of their lives because they didn't pursue education because education was mistakenly thought to be something you do so that you can make more money which, by the way, is not what education is for. And it is what it's been made to be in our country, but it's not what it's supposed to be. So please know that if you leave something for the kids, it ought to be something that's going to be a blessing and a help and a boost and a pleasant thing, not a huge burden. You can inherit millions and go on to do good things. But generally, that's not what happens. And people like the Gates family and Buffett and others are realizing we probably ought to do something more worthwhile with our money than handicap our kids by giving them so much money that it removes all motivation. Okay? I would say the same is true. One of the people who inherited great wealth and went on, got an education and had a career and works very, very hard, said to me, what tips would you give me about, you know, do I give each of my kids the same thing? And I said, well, let's look at what God does. He doesn't give everybody the same thing. And in fact, Jesus said that something that reflects God is entrusting something to each of the servants, in that case, not sons, but he gave each of the servants something and said, now, invest it. And the better they did with their investment, the more they were given after that. So I said, you might look at that with your kids. Start giving them something to invest and see who takes it seriously. If they go out and squander it on themselves, etc., that's not a good person to give money to. Have you ever noticed that the people who win the lottery end up saying, worst thing that ever happened to me? I mean, it is not wise to play the lottery. But if you should happen to win the lottery, you will now have an enormous budget with which you can demonstrate on a grand scale that you are not wise. Okay? I mean, that's what happens to the people who win. Okay? Now I've got enough money for everybody to see that I'm stupid. All right? So, you know, I would encourage you, we have a lot of athletes who tragically have enormous physical ability and no sense of what to do with money. And by the way, just one more thing, if you've got a really palatial house, get rid of it as quick as possible, because the next generation doesn't want your dream house, okay? And prices are going down all over the country, just so you know, okay? When I pastored in Atlanta, I was placed by God in a situation where we were surrounded by many people who had a lot of wealth and power. And people built these houses and bought these houses that were just, you know, like hotels. And they're just huge. You know, this guy and his wife have 2.3 children, and they've got a 12-bedroom house with 20 bathrooms. And after a while, when the marriage breaks up, as you know, like, why would that happen? But when the marriage breaks up, as so often is the case, they try and sell the house and nobody wants it. And so the price goes from $17 million to $12 million. And 4 years later, it's down to $5 million. When they get down around three, they may find a buyer, but not necessarily, because most people can't afford to keep up that kind of a property. Okay? Yes, he was a sports figure. He was famous. We'd all know his name. But let me tell you this. None of the kids at my children's home would know his name. He's not a sports figure anymore. And even though he made millions and millions of dollars, he's not making millions and millions anymore. And most people can't afford to operate that kind of a property. Never mind the taxes. But, you know, unless you want a staff of 10 people keeping up your house, don't do that. So I've got a friend who's a realtor, and he is often assigned to sports figures who he goes out to try and help them find a house, and they'll say, you know, well, I want this, this, this. He'll say, no, you don't. And they'll say, why? And he says, because you're going to get transferred to another team, and you're going to be stuck with this house, and you won't be able to sell it. You know, $3.2 million house is not a thing you want to be trying to sell, because it's not going to move quickly, because there's only a small group of the market that's willing to buy that. So don't do that. Buy yourself this place for $950,000, which is still a very beautiful home. It's closer to where you got to work. And when it's time to sell, we can find a buyer. Okay? And they look at him and they say, don't you get a percentage of whatever I buy? And he says, yes. And they say, well, why are you trying to talk me out of spending more money when that'd be more money for you? And he says, because my job is to try and take care of you. And he ends up getting to talk to a lot of them about Jesus. So what about giving money as an inheritance to your kids? It's a lovely thing. I'll recommend something that you not do, that my wife and I are not going to do. We've got 7 kids. We're not going to give all 7 of them our house. Okay? You talk about cruelty. Okay? I mean, that's just don't do that, you know. Well, we were thinking you could share it. This ain't the Ponderosa. Yes, sir. That's a great question. Would the courts of Tennessee acknowledge and approve of advanced directives from the state of Illinois? I would suggest, and we can get actually an intelligent opinion back here. Here's what I would suggest, and then you can tell me if I got this right. Okay. If you draw up your own based on what you saw in the Illinois thing and say, this is what I want, these are the directives I'm giving, and you have it signed and notarized, the courts of Tennessee, I believe, would recognize that. Okay. In other words, don't use an Illinois form except as a document from which you draw up your own. Can I share what you shared with me during the break? This gentleman does these kinds of forms, and he said if he has to deal with someone who is headed into denial, he offers at no charge to do an involuntary commitment form, which will have them committed. I think that's perfect. Because what he's saying is, if you don't do these other kinds of forms, you're crazy. Okay? Is that a fair paraphrase? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it is a problem. I'm telling you, the reason I'm talking to you about this is even among evangelical Christians who will tell you, I believe Jesus died on the cross to save me. I know that, you know, it's appointed unto man once, but I'm not gonna let that happen to me. Okay? I mean, it really is crazy. And so what I'm saying to you, if you want to just distill it, is don't be crazy. All right? Realize that we all have a limited... That's why I don't like to exercise. I don't want to use up my heartbeats. That was a joke. Sort of. All right. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Well, prayerfully. Very prayerfully. And it could change over time. In other words, when our kids were little, these were the people who were going to watch our kids if something happened to us. As they changed and our kids aged, these became the people who we were going to have take care of our kids if something happened to us. More time went by. Eventually, our kids don't need somebody to take care of them. We're having to look at who's going to take care of us. And so you have to talk with your kids about it, but I would talk with the Lord the most. And say, Lord, show me, who do I entrust this to? And sometimes the best thing is not to have one of your kids as the person, but to have someone else that you can rely on who will do that, and then your kids are relieved of that burden. So it doesn't have to be one of your children who does that for you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.